still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Amen. Good morning. So good to again be with you and be blessed by a wonderful time of singing and praying together, just fellowshipping and being before the Lord and knowing that He's promised that where two or three gather in His name, that the Lord Jesus is right in the center. And that's where we want Him to be. We want to be right in the center. I don't know how many of you are afflicted with myopia. It's nearsightedness. Nearsightedness allows you to see up close, but not far away very well. As we get older, the up close doesn't get too well either. It seems like it goes the other way. But if you look at this picture, you might think you have myopia. As you look there, if that looks clear to you, you have a serious problem. I'm not sure what it is, but maybe it's a good thing. Maybe you're able to make blurry pictures look clear. But then what we really want to do is clear it up. Now, hopefully you can see it a little bit better. If you have myopia and you don't have glasses, corrective lenses of some type, then maybe this is still blurry. Myopia, nearsightedness, it also is used in more of a figurative, poetic way to describe a lack of imagination or foresight or intellectual insight. We can easily suffer from myopia. If you ever read Alice in Wonderland, you might remember the conversation between Alice and the Cheshire Cat, where Alice said, "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here? That depends a good deal on where you want to get to," said the cat. "I don't much care where," said Alice. "Then it doesn't matter which way you go," said the cat. "So long as I get somewhere," Alice added as an afterthought. "Oh, you're sure to do that," said the cat, "if you only walk long enough." 2020 vision is the theme that the elders have selected for our assembly for this year, and we're starting off with several times together messages regarding this idea of a 2020 vision. Last Sunday morning, we discussed our mission statement, that Shannon Hills Bible Chapel exists to exalt the Lord Jesus, evangelize the world, and edify the church. If you don't mind and you don't have myopia, I'm going to ask you if you could read that with me. We'll expand the SHBC and we can say Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. So let's say that all together as our mission statement as a local church. Shannon Hills Bible Chapel exists to exalt the Lord Jesus, evangelize the world, and edify the church. So I hope that you can remember that, and maybe the three E's, exalt, evangelize, and edify, and maybe as you do that, it will, the other thoughts, the other parts of that mission statement will come into your mind. It's based on the Great Commission, as we saw last Sunday morning in Matthew 28. Verses 18 to 20. A mission statement for any type of organization, or in the case of the local church, organism, is really a statement of why we exist, what our purpose is. You could have a mission statement for your life. What is your purpose in life? And this, we believe, is the purpose of this local assembly, that we're here to exalt the Lord Jesus, to magnify and worship Him and obey Him, to evangelize the world in which God has us, to share the gospel, the good news of grace, salvation by grace through faith, and to edify the church, to build up believers here in this local assembly and in other places as well. And now we're going to talk a little bit this morning about our vision statement. our vision statement. A vision statement really is what we see that God desires for us to be at some point in the future. A business may have a vision statement, and it may, if it's operated and owned by a Christian businessman or woman, they may have God in their vision statement. But many businesses, many companies have a vision statement. It's where they want to be, what they want to be at a certain point in the future. It's something that they're aiming for. It's a goal. And so for us, we're looking and saying, what is it that we see that God desires for us to be at some point in the future? What is our vision? Where are we headed as a local church? Really, what is our vision to see? Not what we want to be. Not what you want to be. Not what someone else wants us to be, but what God wants us to be. The saying that has been around for a long time and is definitely as true today as it ever was, if you aim at nothing, guess what? You're sure to hit it. You know, it's easy to assume that we know where we are going in our lives, with our families, as a local church. Or we may be content with where we are. It may be that we say, you know, at the end of this year, I want everything in my life to be exactly as it is right now. I don't see the need to grow. I don't see the need to change. I don't see the need to develop. I think I need to stay. I think we need to stay exactly as we are now. But of course, the important question, the essential question, is what does our Lord want us to be? He is the Lord of the church universally. He is the Lord of this local church. The Lord is the Master. He can be our Lord. We can be His, though, without seeking to grow into what He wants us to be. Do we truly see what He sees? I'm reminded, and you don't need to turn there. We're going to be, if you want to turn somewhere, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4 in a few moments. But in Revelation chapter 3, it's the last of the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, where the Lord Jesus is walking among the lampstands that represent the local churches. And He is evaluating them, and they're the church at Laodicea. He says to them, "Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see." Could it be that we only think we see what the Lord Jesus wants us to see? You know, my question, our question is, what does God want us to be? What is our 2020 vision? Do we have a clear perspective on where our Lord desires for us to be 12 months from now? Or 5 years from now? Or 10 years from now? And many of us hope that we will be in heaven with Him, that all the believers, the church, will be there, but we do not know. At the watch night service on New Year's Eve, I shared a couple of verses from John chapter 20. I just want to read those again. It's after the Lord Jesus has resurrected from the dead, and we read that then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. And notice the last sentence in these verses. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now, there's a couple of things I want to point out about that verse. One is not something that's inspired by God. It's actually just the practical way that our Bible is divided up, that we're able to find a chapter and a verse. But that is John 20:20, okay? John 20:20. And what was the disciples' vision In John 20:20, they were glad, what? When they saw the Lord. What was their vision? Their vision was Him. Their vision was their resurrected Savior and Lord. That's who they saw. Jesus Christ is our vision. What did we just sing? Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Ultimately, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins and was buried and rose again and has ascended back to heaven, He is our vision. If our vision is not consumed with Him, then our vision is not a vision from God. The Lord Jesus is to be our vision. So how do we put that into words for ourselves as we look forward as a local church to what God has for us? We're going to be looking in Ephesians chapter 4, but I just want to start out with presenting this vision. Our vision as a local church is to be a local church that knows Jesus Christ more deeply and makes Him known more widely. Let me read that one more time, and then I'm going to get you to read that with me. Our vision is to be a local church that knows Jesus Christ more deeply and makes Him known more widely. Okay, we're going to say it together. Here we go. Our vision is to be a local church that knows Jesus Christ more deeply and makes Him known more widely. As with our mission statement, the elders here desire for our vision to be based on God's Word, and His Word is the source for this vision statement. Specifically, it's going to be from Ephesians 4:13. So if you're in Ephesians 4, I invite you to look there beginning at verse 1. We're going to take time to read the first 16 verses to get the context. And we could go to many other places in the Scripture to draw out this vision. It's not only grounded in one verse or one passage. It's throughout the Word of God, particularly the New Testament. We know the Lord Jesus is throughout the Scripture. So let me read, beginning with Ephesians 4 and verse 1. I'll read through verse 16. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, He says, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, He ascended, what does it mean but that He also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that He might fill all things. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Wow, that's a powerful passage. All of God's Word is powerful. But that really strikes me as I read that. In the context of us seeking a vision from God, God, what do You want for us to be? at the end of this year? What is your desire? What would you desire to do in us and through us in this coming year? Very quickly, let's just think for a moment of the context. The first six verses of Ephesians 4 emphasize the unity of the body of Christ. There's a calling to unity in the first verse. There's the challenge to be unified. The challenge for unity in verses 2 and 3. It's difficult. It's not easy to be practically unified. Positionally, we are one in Christ. Practically, it's very difficult. And then verses 4 to 6, the connections of unity. Seven unities which connect us together. And then in verses 7 to 16, the emphasis goes from the unity of the body, though carrying that on, and built on that unity is the maturity of the body of Christ. In verses 7 to 12, we have gifts that are given to help bring us to maturity. In verses 13 to 15, the goal of maturity. And then in verse 16, that growth to maturity. And our focus is going to be on verse 13 today. We're breaking into the middle of a sentence, but we've already read the sentence and the paragraph. And there we read, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we would like to consider this verse as a basis for the two actions that we've already read and spoken together in our vision statement. And I want you to notice how this verse begins. Till we all come. Till we all come. What is that speaking of? Two things I want to suggest. First of all, it's a future point. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. It's something that Paul is looking for in the future. It's going to be fully experienced when the Lord Jesus comes back and takes us to be with Himself. And we're going to be like Him because we're going to see Him. We're going to see Him. We're going to have a vision of Him, a real vision of Him as He is. But until that time, God is working to grow us. God is working to transform us. And we'll look at some of those verses in just a few minutes. To know Jesus Christ more deeply. And to make Him known more widely. Let's look at those two actions this morning. First of all, to know Jesus Christ more deeply. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Himself said in John 17:3, is life eternal. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. Paul, who had eternal life, Paul, who had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Paul, who had understood that he was a guilty sinner before God, separated on his way to the lake of fire for all eternity, rightfully so. He understood, he recognized, he had a vision of the Lord Jesus. He saw by his mind's eye, by a perspective on the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus had died for him. The Lord Jesus, who had never sinned, had died on the cross for his sins. It had been raised back to life, and Paul, Saul at that time, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Philippians 3:10, years later, here was the cry of his heart, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. What was Paul saying? I want to know Him more deeply. I want to know Him better. I want to know more about Him. I want us to think about two aspects of this. First, we have here this idea of the unity of the faith, the oneness of the faith. Now, this could be looked at in a couple of ways, and we're going to try to look at it in both ways. think here about the unity of the faith, speaking of knowing the realities, the truths about Jesus Christ intellectually. We might call that doctrine. We might call that an objective faith, the faith. The faith. As Jude said, the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The faith. The body of truth. The doctrine, the teaching of the apostles and of the Lord Jesus is what you believe. What you believe about the Lord Jesus and about many other truths as well, about God and man and sin and salvation and the return of the Lord Jesus and the eternal state. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. What do we believe about the Lord Jesus? We sang this morning words of an ancient creed. We believe in God the Father. We believe in God the Son. We believe, and I have scriptures for all of these if you'd like to see them later, and many of them are in our articles of faith for Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. We believe that the Lord Jesus is eternally God without beginning, without end. We believe that the Lord Jesus was conceived and born of the Virgin Mary. We believe that the Lord Jesus took on humanity at the incarnation while retaining His deity. We believe that the Lord Jesus lived a sinless life. We believe that the Lord Jesus died a substitutionary death, taking our place. We believe that He bodily rose from the dead. We believe that He visibly ascended. We believe that presently He is at the right hand of the Father, where He functions as our great high priest. We believe these things. And we want to know more about Him. We want to know these truths more deeply. And we want to dig in the Word of God and know more. We want to know Him more deeply. And then there's that perspective of the faith as being belief. And trust, a subjective faith. Not only intellectually believing those truths, but choosing to roll our lives and our eternal destinies on Him, the one that these truths are about. Knowing Jesus Christ, knowing the realities about Him intellectually, but also the second part of that initial phrase of verse 13 speaks of the knowledge of the Son of God. Can I suggest here that we have a different perspective on knowing? Knowing the relationship with Him intimately. Knowing the relationship with Him intimately. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. And having a relationship with the Lord Jesus, having our faith placed in Him, opens up the opportunity to not only know about Him, to not only know the truths, the realities about Him intellectually, but it opens up the amazing door into the eternal, infinite place of knowing the relationship with Him intimately. This speaks really of an experience or an ongoing experience, not a one-time experience. Please don't misunderstand me. But rather, what Paul is speaking of here to the Ephesians, using this Greek word epinosis. The word gnosis is our normal word for knowledge in the Greek New Testament. But epinosis is an intensive form. It speaks of a fuller, deeper knowledge, an experiential knowledge. It comes with a relationship. It's personal. Just as you develop a relationship with another human being through a commitment to some degree depending on the relationship to that person. And then the communication between you and that person deepens the relationship. If there's no commitment, there's no depth. If there's a commitment but no communication, that depth can only go so far. The Lord Jesus created you for relationship. With others, yes, but primarily with Him. And when we are made new, when we are born again, our spirits, for the first time in our existence, become alive. Alive to God. The Spirit is the part of you, spirit, soul, and body. The Spirit being that part that is able to relate to God personally. And that's what God desires for you. Knowing Jesus Christ more deeply. I hope you already know Him. If you don't, may I invite you, may I plead with you, may I share with you, may many others here pray that you would recognize the need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and have a relationship with Him. Already know Him, maybe you already know Him deeply. But what we are looking for this year in our 2020 vision is a future point. As Paul said, till we all come. That is a process. It's going to be a moment when it occurs and we're all together in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. But until that time, God is transforming us. God is shaping us to be more like His Son, the Lord Jesus. And He wants us to grow. Are you satisfied with where you are? Do you have any desire to grow in your relationship with the Lord Jesus? Do you desire that it be deeper? Is there something in your heart? Maybe it's a burning fire. Maybe it's a little flicker that says, I want to know Him better. I want to know Him more deeply. And we want to be a local church that together desire to know Jesus Christ more deeply. Well, how do we get there from here? If we say, well, it doesn't really matter much where I'm going, then the Cheshire Cat says, well, just go any way you want to then, because it doesn't really matter. You'll eventually get somewhere. How do we get there from here? Could we suggest several aspects of a more practical vision, a way to reach the vision? And the things that I'm going to share with you here and in the next section, they're not concrete, if you want to say it. We might say they're fluid. They're able to be shaped and changed as we go along. God may work in different ways. But here's some practical things just to start out with. Here's a vision that we would see everyone at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel having a time in the Word of God and prayer daily. Does that excite you? Would you like to get on board with that? Maybe you're saying, hey, I've been doing that for years. Praise God. But there are people here more than likely that can say, or that would have to say, no, I don't have a time with God every day. Can I encourage you to give 1 minute to the Lord, just being with Him, reading His Word and praying? 1 minute should be a minimum, I would say, and I hope we can go deeper than that, because we want to go more deeply with Him. And if you are spending time with Him every day, can I encourage you, do you want to go more deeply? Have you reached a point where you are there? You've reached the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. No, none of us have. He is infinite. We will never exhaust knowing Him. We need Him. Here's another encouragement. And again, these are visions. These are things that we would love to see, that we hope to see by God's grace and power and for His glory. Everyone at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel being in at least one discipling or accountability relationship. Ideally, you would have one relationship with a more spiritual believer, someone who is deeper with the Lord possibly, has been saved longer, has been in the Word longer than you, and then one relationship with someone that you could be that brother or sister who has been walking with the Lord longer and maybe knows Him somewhat better. That would be the ideal. But the encouragement, the vision, is to see all of us wanting to grow together, recognizing that this is not something that God intended for us to do individually, but rather as a local church. That's His heart. That we would have that type of relationship. And I don't know what that will look like for you. I don't know if that means that you'll be in touch with someone every day or once a week or once a month. I don't know. But the vision is that we would have those types of relationships that would challenge us to grow, that would encourage us to grow, that would help us to be in the Word, that would be accountability, that we're spending time in prayer with the Lord. Someone who could keep us accountable and challenge us and question us. Someone who could encourage us and share with us what God is doing in their lives, and we could do the same for them. That's our vision, to grow together. Learning, experiencing. And I know from my own experience, whenever I'm seeking to pour into someone else, it always splashes back to me. Always. Always. Thirdly, a vision. That everyone at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel would be involved in some area of service for the Lord. You know, if He is our Lord, if you are saved, if you're born again, if you have been forgiven of your sins and you have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus, then He is your Lord. He is your Master. And He has expectations. And He desires that you be serving Him. Because He designed us in that way to where truly we're not fulfilled as a believer unless we are serving Him. Again, I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know if that's being involved in an ongoing ministry here through the chapel, if that's being involved in some other ministry in the area, if that's some type of service that you are doing on your own. If you were together with another brother or sister, maybe someone that you're in a discipling or accountability relationship with, but that there's some sense in which you can look at your life and say, I'm serving the Lord. Not to make yourself feel good, but to know that He deserves that. He's worthy of that. He is Lord, and a master has servants, and we're to be His servants. What a vision. Does that seem impossible? Maybe so. But we have a vision to be a local church that knows Jesus Christ more deeply. Do you want to know Him more deeply? I want to know Him more deeply, and I need you. I need you to help me to know Him more deeply. We want to study Him. We want to love Him. We want to talk with Him. We want to listen to Him. We want to walk with Him. We want to obey Him. We want to know Jesus Christ more deeply. And our vision is at the end of this year, we'll be able to look and say, I know Him more deeply. We know Him more deeply. And coming out of that is the other part of our vision, that we might make Jesus Christ known more widely. We might make Him known more widely. We find the apostles, Acts chapter 4. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he says to the rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man stands before you whole. What did he want? He wanted to make the Lord Jesus Christ known. He didn't want to keep Him to Himself. He didn't want to wait for somebody else to do it. He wanted to be a part. Peter wanted to be a part. John wanted to be a part. Paul wanted to be a part. The believers in the early church wanted to be a part of making Jesus Christ known and making Him known more widely. the goal there in Ephesians 4 at the end of verse 13, or the second half of verse 13, till we all come to a perfect man. Now, that's not sinless perfection in that sense, though one day we will be in that state when we're with the Lord. But the thought here is of a maturity, of a completeness. And look at the standard. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that's what we need to desire. That's our vision. Because you know what? We are His body. We are His body here on the earth. The Lord Jesus is not here in physical form anymore, but guess who is? You and me. And what does He say in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and here in Ephesians 4 and in Ephesians 5 and in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 and in Colossians 1, 2, and 3. What does He say? You are the body of Christ. And not just because you all fit together, but because we represent Him here on this earth. Romans 8, 29 says that those who know the Lord Jesus, God already foreknew that you would believe on the Lord Jesus. He has predestined those whom He foreknew to be conformed to the image of His Son. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are being transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus from glory to glory. Paul's heart, he shared it in Colossians 1:28. He says that he preached Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We are His body. We represent Him. We are His hands and His feet. We are to, as it were, be Jesus to the world in which we live. And we want to make Him known more widely. We want to have a wider reach with the gospel than we've ever had before, reaching more people. There are people that are right beside us in our neighborhoods, right beside us at work, or right beside us as we go to the store, even right beside us in our family that we've never reached with the gospel. We want to reach out more widely. We want to make Him known. Because it's not us that we're drawing them to. It's not this local church that we're drawing them to. It's the Lord Jesus. If we don't make Him known, then we are not sharing the gospel. Because it was Christ who died for our sins, and not one another. It was Christ who was buried and rose again and who was seen. The gospel is about Him. And we want to make Him known more widely, a wider reach and also wider use. Methods that we may not have tried before. We want to reach out. And if it's in line with the Scripture, then we want to go out and we want to reach out in different ways, using different ideas to get the gospel to others, to get the Lord Jesus' name to others. Well, how do we get there from here? Let me give you some other ideas of some vision regarding this. That everyone at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel would participate in some form of evangelism. And don't let that word scare you. You're just making Jesus Christ known. Maybe it's a chapel outreach or tract distribution, which is our ministry of the month. Maybe it's just talking with your neighbors and developing a relationship with them that you might have the opportunity to make Jesus Christ known to them. Maybe it's someone in your family or in your workplace, but that we all would have a vision that I need to be making Jesus Christ known. It's not just the elder's responsibility. It's not just someone who has the gift of evangelism. Here's another practical aspect of a vision, that we could have at least 100 visitors to Shannon Hills Bible Chapel this year. At least 100. That they would come, again, not because they're coming here, not because we want to just have more people for the sake of numbers, but because we want them to come here that we can be a part together of making Jesus Christ known to them, whether they're believers or unbelievers. And we'd like to encourage everybody in here to invite at least one person a month to come to visit at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. We're not going to come behind you and ask you if you did that. But you can come and ask me, keep me accountable. Have you invited anybody this month, Mark? to come to the chapel. We need to be excited about what God is doing here and want other people to come and be a part of that. The third part of this making Jesus Christ known more widely vision is a vision to see the Lord save at least 25 people as a direct result of evangelistic efforts of this local assembly. Whether corporate, something we do together, or group outreach, or individually, that God would do this, that He can do it. He's willing to do it. We can have that vision that He will do that. Now, He may choose not to, and that's totally of Him. But we know that He desires, He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to come repent to repentance and a knowledge of the faith. Another aspect of our vision, making Jesus Christ known more widely, is to increase our community involvement. We've been able to partner this past year with the Red Cross. They're not a Christian organization, but it gives us the opportunity to make Jesus Christ known more widely, to expose people to this local assembly and to people here who love the Lord Jesus. There is Youth for Christ, the Pregnancy Care Center, Teen Challenge, so many ways that we can be involved in our community, our Smith Homes outreach, many ways. Here's another aspect of a vision. We'd love to start a Spanish Bible study. The elders have been praying about this for a number of years. Stephen and Sarah Roten, Lord willing, are moving to Greensboro for 3 years, sometime this spring. Maybe God would use them to do this. God can do it. Another part of this vision, that 20 new families this year would begin attending regularly at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. 20 new families in 1 year. And you say, it's been a long time since anything like that happened. It's been a long time. How long has it taken us to get 20 families? That's why this is a vision. It's a vision of what only God can do. We can't do it. If we can do it, it's not much of a vision. We don't need God. We can do it. But God can do this. One final aspect. We'd like to start a greeter ministry. As we make Jesus Christ known more widely, we'd like to have people, in addition to our ushers, who do a great job with what they're doing, we'd like to have some people who are committed to greeting people as they come in the building, to welcoming them, to letting their first impression as they come through the doors to be that of welcome, of grace and truth, of the Lord Jesus. We want to make Him known more widely. We want to be a local church that makes Jesus Christ known more widely. We want to reach people we've not been able to reach before. We want to implement new ideas for sharing the Lord Jesus with people in our lives and for sharing our lives in Jesus with more people. Our vision is to be a local church that knows Jesus Christ more deeply and makes Him known more widely. Would you read that with me again? Our vision is to be a local church that knows Jesus Christ more deeply and makes Him known more widely. Very good. We're not going to have time to look. I'm just going to put all these up here very quickly. We're going to just go on through. Here's a couple questions as we close. Do we truly want to be different 12 months from now? That's the first question. Do we truly want to be different? What does God want us to be? Might we be like Saul on the road to Damascus? Lord, what do You want me to do? About 350 years ago, a shipload of travelers landed on the northeast coast of America. The first year they established a town site. The next year they elected a town government. The third year the town government planned to build a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. In the fourth year the people tried to impeach their town government because they thought it was a waste of public funds to build a road 5 miles into the wilderness. Who needed to go there anyway? Here were people who had the vision to see 3,000 miles across an ocean and overcome great hardships to get there, but in just a few years they were not able to see even 5 miles out of town. They had lost their pioneering vision. Do we truly want to be different? And do we truly think we can be different 12 months from now? Or is this vision impossible? If you're still in Ephesians, just look up right before chapter 4 begins, right before this powerful passage. Notice what Paul says as he finishes up his prayer. Look at verse 20 of chapter 3. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He can do it. He can do more than we can even come up with, more than we can imagine. Our vision is to be a local church that knows Jesus Christ more deeply and makes Him known more widely. What is our vision? Our 2020 vision is John 20:20. They saw the Lord. And we want to see Him more. We want others to see Him more. And I'm going to ask the music team to come up, and very quickly, you're just going to lead us in the chorus, as this will be our close as I pray. And the music team would come up, and they're going to lead us in "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Let's pray as they come up. Father, thank You so much for the vision that we can have. And Lord, we know that our vision is a little vision, really. You're a great, infinite God. You can do anything. You can do beyond what we can ask or even imagine. Lord, we tried to imagine some things this morning. Some of them seem like maybe they wouldn't be that hard. But Lord, there's not a thing on this list of 10 that's not going to be difficult for us and impossible without You. You're the only one that can do it. We're just instruments and vessels who want to be obedient and do what You tell us to do and show us to do. Lord, please be gracious unto us. We love You. Father, bless us as we close with this song. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.
Turn Your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Sing it one more time.
Turn Your eyes upon Jesus, look full in